Desire y'all's prayers this evening. So I have a little thought that started out as a study I was doing at Christmas time and seems to keep evolving. The phrase "I am," does it bring anything to mind? Especially when written in all caps. God, yes. It's something that at Christmas time I was doing a study. And sometimes I don't think we really stop to think about how far back Christmas goes. And so I'd like for us to take a bit this evening and look into the Word. I want to start off looking in John chapter 8. So I'm just going to read verses 12 and 13. It says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees thereof said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true." Now Jesus had been speaking with them. He mentions that he was the light of life. The Pharisees start disputing with him on that. We have a good bit of the rest of the chapter where they go back and forth on what record is true. And, you know, they're of the seed of Abraham. And, you know, they're following the rules that's been put down, you know, back in the ancient time regarding witnesses. And Jesus says, well, if you'd have been Abraham, if you're truly his seed, you would have heard and understood. So let's drop on down there in chapter 8 to verses 56. I'm starting to read there. It says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Now think about what Jesus is saying here. He started off saying, I'm the light of life. And his final stake in the whole argument was, before Abraham was, I am. A complete statement of, if you want to call it, eternal existence. You know, Moses, when asked who he should tell the children of Israel had sent him, the Lord said, tell them that, you know, I am that I am sent you. The self-existent eternal one. And so I want us to look at that as we consider, do we believe in the great I am? So let's go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, starting in verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Now this is describing Jesus, if you will, at the beginning. And here it says he was the light of life. The light for men. The light of the world. And while it says, and the darkness comprehended the light not, that word comprehended, often we take it to mean the darkness couldn't understand it. But there's another alternative meaning for comprehend that means the darkness couldn't overtake or subdue it. That the light from the beginning was set to defeat darkness. From the very beginning. And so with that, let's jump over to Genesis chapter 1. If we go to Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 1. "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, this is the record of in the beginning, God said, let there be light. In the very beginning, at the start of everything, God was already looking to Christmas. There was going to be a light of the world. And to help men remember that this light is going to win, the first thing I'm going to do in creation is create light. Notice there's no sun, there's no moon, there's no stars at this point in time. There's nothing. And God says, first thing is light. And second thing on this first day, light basically has dominion over darkness. It'll separate them out. Have you ever carried around a dark light? We carry around a flashlight but you know, is there anything you know of that you could walk in here and shine darkness around this room? It doesn't happen. That's not the way God designed it. God designed it so that only one thing happens. Light dispels darkness. That's the way it is. That's the way it's been from the beginning. That's his plan. If you see light, it'll dispel darkness. The only way we can stop light is if we try to block it. If we, you know, you put sunglasses on to cut down an amount of light coming in on a bright, sunny day. But you can also, you know, there's, what is it, blackout curtains you can put on windows. Diane and I like those in the rooms we sleep in, because if the light starts coming in, sometimes it'll keep you up. But you have to intentionally keep light out. Otherwise, light's coming in. That's its design. From the very beginning, God wanted light to represent that his son was going to come into the world and his son was going to be the victorious. The light of life was going to come in. Now let's go to Genesis chapter 15, also starting in verse 1. It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord and counted it unto him for righteousness. Now I mentioned this a little bit this morning, partly because of having been doing this study. This, to me, is another sign of what God was trying to get man to understand about light and dark. Because Abraham had been given a promise that in your seed, the entire world, Jews and Gentiles, will be blessed. This is my promise to you. And Abraham is talking to the Lord, and he's like, Lord, I don't have a natural child. I just have this steward, this person who would inherit according to most customs today. Where is my child? And God says, there's going to be a seed come out of you, but let me show you what that seed's going to be. And he took him outside, and it has always struck me looking at that as I did this study. He had him look up into the dark night sky. But he didn't want him to look at the darkness. He wanted him to look at all the little pinpoints of light. All the little pinpoints. Do you know each one of us, if we're a spiritual child of Abraham, we're a little point of light in the dark world today? We're part of that promise, that covenant that the Lord made in the very beginning, back when he said light and dark and separate them. And here, God's pointing up to Abraham. See, the light and the dark is still separated, and the expanse of space, all of that darkness cannot snuff out any of the light coming from the stars. Now let's go to Luke chapter 2. We Luke chapter 2, starting in the 8th verse. Says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto him, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, this is the news of the birth of the Savior. What time of day was this announcement made? Was it made in the light? Do you think that was coincidence that it was made at night in darkness? And how was the announcement brought to the attention of the shepherds that it's being made to? A light. No doubt just lit up the entire countryside they were around. The shepherds are sitting there and light is now shining in the darkness because God's saying with his angels, my son has arrived. And notice that it was to shepherds that the announcement was made. Why to shepherds? What was Abraham? Did he own cities and land? Or was he just a traveling shepherd with his flocks going around the countryside who had been given a promise? Joseph, when he went into Egypt, how did he introduce his family to Pharaoh? Did he introduce them as men of great stature and held much lands and they were... No, he said, these are my family. They are shepherds. They're herdsmen. Moses. What was Moses doing when he was called by the Lord to go back and lead the people out of Egypt? You know, he was doing something when he saw the burning bush. He was out shepherding the sheep of his father-in-law. And then we have David, the little shepherd boy, who became the first king of Israel, was said to be a man after God's own heart, who learned to trust the Lord out there being a shepherd, learned how to fight the lion and the bear. Isn't it wonderful that the Lord said, you know what, I want the shepherds to know first. Because my promise was made to a shepherd. So in the darkness tonight, just like back at the beginning, in the darkness I spoke light. So tonight, I'm going to put light on earth. And I'm going to make this big light to the shepherds and let them know, my son has arrived. And what was the result of that? Let's drop down to verse 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us go now even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. What a simple reaction. Was there any shadows of doubt in their minds about what they saw? Were they questioning, you know, what do you think the angels meant? But instead they said, we just saw an announcement from on high. All the shadows of doubt are gone. The light has dispelled them. Let's go see. Let's go see this thing. Not that might have happened, but this thing that has happened. And just like back in the beginning of time, that light dispelled any doubts they had. Let's go on over to back to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew 2, starting in verse 1. Says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Now, this is an interesting scenario here. These wise men, from as much as we can kind of tell in the Bible, they're showing up 2 years later. They're not showing up that same night with the shepherds. This is 2 years later. And they're showing up. Wise men, the word magi, is where we get the word magician from. And some of the study and I did on this, the Magi, they specialized in the study of astrology and enchantment. They were truly trying to be magicians, to appear powerful. And they had seen a star in the sky. Now, these magicians tended to study the stars and the planets and the movement because they had learned in their craft that if I can appear to predict things, where the star or the sun or the moon, what's going to happen in a way that appears miraculous, people will believe I have a power. So these men had been studying stars for a while. And yet here we see a star has their attention. And it's got their attention in a manner different than what has happened before. It got their attention, so these magicians traveled a long ways, went to a foreign king who didn't know they were coming. There was no ambassador that they sent ahead of them to say, hey, we're... These people showed up and said, we're wanting to know where the King of Kings is at. We've seen a star. You know, the light was still shining into darkness. If I told you there was a person practicing magic or attempting to, would you consider that person to be full of light or full of darkness, according to our belief? We would say that person's probably, I personally would say they're probably pretty darkened. They don't have a whole lot of light if they're trying to practice magic. Not the, you know, the earthly magic you hear about in books and stuff. But there was a light that God put in the sky. And it shone in the darkness of night. And once again, some men, this time you could consider them Gentiles, looked up and said, that star. Let's study that star. Wait a minute. We don't know where the predictions were that they said led them to believe this was the Messiah. We have no record of what those predictions were. But somewhere out there, they had had knowledge of predictions of the Messiah and what would happen. And when they saw what was happening, they left home and went to Jerusalem. Now consider that. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, and this time we're going to go to verses 14 and 15. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. Do you realize that star that they saw was most likely put into motion at this time by the Lord to be a sign? What do we set? How do we determine how to set that clock in the back of the room? If I said it was noon right now, what would you all say? It's not noon. Why not? The sun's not overhead. Even our clocks, our system of time today, is based on the movements of the stars in the universe. All concept of time we have stems from that. And the God Almighty knew, when my son comes, I'm going to do a miraculous display of angels to my people. But I'm also going to make sure the Gentiles get noticed too. You know, if you shine a bright light in somebody's eyes that's been in darkness, it's painful. But if you turn on a little dim light where they can see, they can see, and then the more you turn it on, it won't be painful. Their eyes will adjust. The Lord knew he was dealing with folks in darkness. And I also want to take a look at something in Numbers. Numbers chapter 24 and verse 17. It says, and now behold, I think I've got the wrong verse number here. Hold on just a second. Let me see. Oh, I was on the wrong verse. Yeah. So 24 and 17. This is actually a prophecy of Balaam. Now, Balaam was not an Israelite. He was a man that somehow had a connection with God, but he was not of the children of Israel. And yet here he's making a prophecy. He says, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Sheth. And reading some of the commentators on that, the last two parts, they say, actually indicate more will subdue all the children of men. Now here we have a non-Israelite that's making a prediction of the Messiah. And what will happen? A star out of Jacob. Once again, the reference to the light. And let's look at a couple other prophecies looking at light. Let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 and 2 says, Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan and Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Now we see in Matthew chapter 4, we're not going to turn to it, but it's in Matthew 4, chapter 4, verses 12 through 17. Jesus, when he left after having been in the wilderness getting tempted, he left and went to Galilee so this scripture could be fulfilled, that the people would see a great light. Let's go to Luke again. Luke chapter 1. Starting in verse 76. And now, this is actually a prophecy that Zechariah prophesied about John the Baptist, but it also talks about Jesus. And it says, And thou, child, referring to John the Baptist, shall be called the prophet of the highest, referring to Jesus. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of the salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Once again, we see a scripture calling out that this is about light into darkness. This is the prophecy. And going on over to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. And now this is in the New Testament church. This is Paul writing. He says, For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Even here we see the New Testament saints considered the linkage between the light and the dark at the beginning of time to Christ, to the fulfillment of the promises to Abraham. So now let's go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 16, says, For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor, from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scriptures is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not of old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, we have a more sure word of prophecy. We don't follow cunningly devised fables. So we've sat, and I know I have, under this type of teaching since I was a young child. Do we embrace it? Do we believe it? Or do we question it? Or reject it? You know, we have the New Testament for us, the eyewitnesses' accounts written down. People that were there, that this is not just a story made up. These are what people actually saw, actually experienced. We have the linkage to the prophecies. But not just the prophecies, but the fulfillment. We can see this was said, and this is where it was fulfilled. You know, the Israelites had, in their day, the prophecy. They actually had Christ standing in front of him, all of his miracles. How much more information do you think they would have needed to believe him, that he was the light of the world? They saw him in real life. They looked at the miracles. And yet, even when he tried to tell them who he was, before Abraham was, I am, they still struggled. Just want us to have a bit of a consideration looking at the amount of effort the Lord put into trying to share with us that his son, the plan of our salvation, has been his goal from the very beginning of time. To reconcile us to himself. To draw us. To give us hope that no matter how dark it seems, there's going to be a light that can shine into our lives, shine around us, and illuminate the world. Y'all pray for me.